Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed.
Hey, moms and dads, we really talked about the word. We talked about some rough words today, so you may.
That's not true. That's no. Let's do it again. Hold on.
You do a pod. You're a good podcaster. How would you do it?
Hey, parents. Happy Tuesday. We talk about a TV show from 20 years ago that I have not watched, that Eddie has watched, that apparently borders on inappropriate. And so I'm here to say you may just want to listen by yourself before you listen with your kids today.
From one Samantha to another, you're going to want to keep those kids out of ear range.
Wow. You just hit go. Good morning, Eddie.
Annie, the magic starts to happen and we can't lose it, because this is it. It is 8:30 a.m. Eastern.
It's not. It's 7:30. And I've got to tell you, it's hard for me.
I cannot fathom doing this an hour ago. I don't know how you do it.
I'm barely doing it today. I woke up at my normal 6 o'clock, and then I woke up again at 7 o'clock, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Annie.
Oh, man.
So of my 31 days in quarantine, I think this will be my fourth one I stay in pajamas, because I just don't want to do it today. I don't want to put on real clothes yet.
Why do we do it at this time? I could do it later. Oh, it's because we just want to get it out in the morning, so people like on their morning.
I don't know why we do it at this time. Part of it is producer Chad. It's good to get it to him early.
He's a tyrant.
People are listening in the morning.
Yeah.
We did have a big meeting when we did our staff meeting yesterday and talked about my morning. And we kind of said, like, here are some other things that are going to have to fit in, or we have to change the quarantine show because.
Yeah, because time-wise.
Oh, it just like splits my morning. Like it splits my pre-work morning, you know?
Well, I feel like people are very, well, I guess we're just show planning right now at the beginning of the show. It's 5 minutes of 5 minutes of behind the scenes planning. I'm good with, I can do whatever, but I don't know why we got into the 8:30 thing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine, this is one of the great things of quarantine, is like now I just say to even Lucy, all right, will you just come wake us at 7:30? And they just walk in and we get like sweet baby wake up at 7:30.
Wait, y'all don't even set an alarm right now? You just have two human alarms?
Bingo. Because Eve is, and they are always rocking and rolling. They're up and chatting.
See, in my
out.
Head, Lucy's the waker-upper and Eve wants to sleep a little bit longer.
Eve is, I'm not sure she sleeps. I mean, I've seen her sleep, but she is up, bed is made, dressed, ready to go, ready to face the world every single day.
And really?
She's got a very clear set of parameters by which her life is governed. One of which is up at 7, get ready to go, bed made, everything's in its place. Yeah, I love it. And Lucy,
man, she's gonna kind of take over the world, isn't she?
I think we're all gonna be following Eve, and I'm as you would say, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. Yeah, I'm kind of here for it. Yeah,
yeah. So that was my morning update.
Well, you were about to tell us about Lucy.
Oh, she's a little bit more like, you know, just happy to see the world. If there's somebody up, yeah, she'll come. Like when Eve's up, she's like, oh yeah, well, let's do that. But lately, they've been doing something very sweet where I'll walk by and Lucy is still firmly warm and sweet in her bed. And Eve is just laying next to her and they're just chatting. Talking, and it's like, oh, little girls just talking about whatever they're talking about.
Yes.
And then at 7:30 they come and wake us, and it's just there are certain things about this, and I've actually felt bad about this in a way.
Okay.
But that when this quarantine is over, I will miss deeply. Like,
yeah.
there have been fundamental changes to the structure of our family that I do not know that I can go backwards.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of them. Just the morning time. Boy, we're 3 minutes in. We're really going. This
you
is
know,
our 7 minutes.
I talked to another dad yesterday, and he has a range of kids, but his oldest, they have teenagers, is their oldest down to elementary. And he was saying a similar thing of like, man, this has been really, we've had hard days, but this has been really good for our family.
Really
and
good.
Listening to my friends who have older kids, like older elementary, middle, high school kids versus preschoolers are having two very different experiences.
Right. Totally.
Because if your kids are old enough that you're discipling them and you're like, they're making independent decisions and running their lives a little bit, it seems to be building some really sweet things in families.
Yes.
I think that is true for people with, don't hear me say anything different. That's true for people with preschoolers, but people with preschoolers are tying shoes, 24 hours a day, 30 days in a row so far.
Parenting is a special kind of exhausting until roughly the five-ish range. At five,
really?
In our experience, it starts to, it's little things that start to change. Like they can go and just, I can just say like, hey, you guys gotta get clean tonight. And they can fully, from beginning to end, shower, dry
just
off.
Just handle it.
Right, and I can read a book. And those little things add massive quality to the parenting experience that, yet at the same time, I miss sitting there cleaning babies. But the physical effort is not as much. You can basically just live normal lives. They sleep. It becomes a mental game. And so that's a whole different thing. But yeah, I will also say we are in the ideal spot where our children are pretty autonomous.
Right.
Is that the right?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought it was a Star Wars word for a second.
Well, it is, but I would not have recognized it if it was.
Animatronic was the other word. They're not animatronic. They're autonomous.
No, they're not animatronic.
It's not the Carousel of Progress. and
Disneyland.
both of our jobs, Bri in school, all of it happens at home. So it's all very easy. We are in the easiest possible situation. But still, it has been... We were like, are we a homeschool family? Are we a homeschool family?
Right.
I kind of love this. This is amazing.
Right. Yeah, it's just very, and I think that, I mean, it's one of the reasons that I taught fourth and fifth grade, not kindergarten. I wanted very minimal peeing in pants and very minimal shoe tying and very minimal, you know, I wanted to be like, talk to them about their jokes they want to make, you know? So.
Right. You can like hang with a fourth grader.
You can hang
with a fifth grader. Real hangout.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then
so it seems
grade,
like those families are having my friends. It's very interesting because of the difference in the cities where I've lived, because where I grew up, most of my peers have elementary and middle school students. Here in Nashville, most of my peers have preschoolers, even though they're the same age, just because people here get married at a different time and have kids at a different time. And so I'm watching very up close two sets of families with different age kids having similar, like all my friends with middle schoolers and older elementary are having a similar-ish experience. All my friends with preschoolers are having a similar-ish experience.
Why do the people have, kids later in Nashville?
Yeah. I mean, all my friends who are late 30s have elementary or have preschool kids. Yeah, all of them or young elementary.
Have you decoded why that is? I mean, what explains that?
Well, Eddie, I don't know that I have an answer. I mean, it's a big city. It's a New York kind of, New York, LA, Chicago kind of city where people are going, people don't move here to get married. People move here for their career.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people get on the road and they travel on the road for their 20s.
Yeah. Right. We've seen that. We've seen Sex in the City. We know how it works. Right. You're totally a Miranda. No. You're, which
I'm
one are you?
I'm going to let you down here.
Oh, no. You've never seen the show. Of course you haven't.
Why? It's of course not... I haven't. What does that mean? Of course I haven't.
Because there's a certain kind of joke. There's a certain kind, like a stable of jokes that I've tried with you over the years that all, and I can't figure out what they all are. I can't figure out their similarity, but they all somehow sit together. And I knew when I said that show out loud, I'm like, I bet she hasn't seen it. Not because you haven't seen other regular shows, but there just seems to be a certain segment
regular
of
regular shows.
You've seen other regular shows, but there have just been things
what
over the years.
That is a regular show. Why is that more of a regular show than Spring Baking Championship and Food Network?
Because 9 out of 10 people have never heard of your show.
What you are implying by calling Sex and the City a regular show is that anyone who hasn't seen it is irregular. And I don't think that's true.
No, I'm saying it is a culturally known show. It was a huge moment.
Carrie Bradshaw, right. I know her name.
Right.
And I know that there's 4 of them and they all have different personalities.
Yeah. Well,
and she's a writer.
Yeah. Let's just agree that neither one of us are a Samantha. If anybody ever calls you a Samantha, all you really need to know is that that was a pretty hard burn.
Oh, just, okay.
I'm going to leave you with that.
Okay.
But you're probably a Charlotte. And also, I'm going to really enjoy.
And you're
Twitter
laughing
today.
Because something about calling me a Charlotte is mocking me. And I can't defend myself because.
No, I'm not mocking you. She is just a great person who probably has never seen her own show. Like she
I mean, I just have never had HBO. I don't pay for that. And I assume that that's what it was on.
Okay. I just had a complete reset. You need to dive into the HBO world. I think it's a very important world.
Okay. Well,
I will figure this out. I've got a way.
I just have plenty to watch without it. And so I don't care to. I just get like I mean I hear you that there's a channel that exists that is very cool to watch and it is culturally it makes you very culturally cool to watch all those shows. I don't care.
I can't even understand that. I love TV. Brianne said one time, and I thought it was so funny that you know, like when people die, like who's the person that's gonna burn my diaries because I don't want anybody to read that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
mine
yeah.
is I don't want I think that she's going to be shocked at the number of documentaries, shows and things I've seen the whole thing of because I just watch it. I just love it. And so when you said I can't, what's the point? I don't have time. I can't imagine not watching every culturally relevant show. I love TV so much.
Oh, I love TV too, but you're implying that one station that exists matters more than the rest. And I disagree with that because I watch a lot of TV and am very interesting to talk to about television, but I don't care to watch HBO.
Yet you don't know why. Yet you don't know why you're a Charlotte.
For sure I don't. Even that. I know I'm offended. I can tell you I'm offended. I don't know why.
You really should.
Except
be.
She's
a lovely person.
Is she the one who gets diarrhea in the movie? Someone was telling me a story recently about drinking the water in Mexico.
I believe that was the second Sex in the City. I believe it was Morocco. And that is not why I brought her up.
What we were discussing. But I'm pulling together all the information that I have about that show.
Yeah.
And one of them is when I was in Honduras with Compassion a few months ago, someone was telling a story about accidentally drinking water.
Yeah.
And they said it's just like Charlotte. I thought they said in Mexico. They must have said in Morocco.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, it's not that deep a cultural pull. I don't think everybody thinks when they get a stomach issue because they've had water that didn't agree with them that they would say it's a Charlotte. It was kind of a deep cut for them. But yes, it would be an accurate reference.
Okay. Great.
Well,
also, it's super uncool that you don't know Spring Baking Championship on Food Network. So.
Yeah, I've never even heard these words. I feel very uncultured right now. I feel like a total Samantha right now.
I don't know what that means.
And counter
burn. Also, we're very close in age, but did you watch this? Wasn't it on when we were in college or right after college? It's not on right now. I know that. I mean,
you can
watch reruns and all the things. I know it's not a current show.
Oh, yeah, watched it all. The moment I got my dad's HBO login, watched it all.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did not watch it in real time. I was in college and I was fully engrossed in, you know, whatever college people watch, SNL and Halo or something like that.
MTV?
Never got into MTV.
Okay.
I was into it during the 80s when it was full, 80s and 90s, when I was in my full, like, Michael Jackson, then transitioning into Nirvana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
just notice how little I'm shaming you over not watching MTV. It's just fine. It's just fine. You decided not to watch that, and therefore, fine.
Are we okay? I think that's the question. Is something happening?
Totally.
Are we in a big fight?
Are these two penguin pals? No, we're totally fine. I just never watched HBO. I mean, this is the best thing about being me in 2020 is that Annie in 2010 would have probably really felt ashamed and embarrassed, and Annie 2020 is like, man, I've done my work. I don't care. It is fine that you love HBO and I do not, and we're still going to be friends, and you're still proud to be Eddie, and I'm still proud to be Annie.
Yeah, so I'll talk about myself in first person and say Eddie in 2020 still still thinks it is somewhat appropriate to somehow talk to an adult friend about which Sex and the City character she was.
So that's fine, I think, actually, but I just can't play along.
It's a 20-year-old reference. You know,
The vibes of what you're calling me for sure. I'm not misunderstanding the vibe. I just don't know the details.
They didn't even have podcasts when they did that show. That's how old it is.
No. I mean, if I wanted to watch the show, we could just start an episode by episode Sex and the City pod. I just don't have time. That's not how I'm going to use my time. I have all the time. We all have the exact same amount of time. That's just not how I'm going to use my time.
And just to thwart this, before anybody hops on and says, like, hey, that's what you guys should do, we're not going to do that.
Yeah,
we would hit a wall minute five, show one, where we do not know what to say to each other.
Oh. Well, I mean, in the title, it is a whole show about sex in a city, and assuming that's New York.
We've already said that word more than we've ever said on the show.
That's real. Yeah, that's real.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's very real. Now that makes me think if we need to do, like, a parental warning at the start.
Oh, maybe. Man, I would love that. Here, I'll record one right now. Hey, moms and dads, we really talked about the word. We talked about some rough words today. So you may.
That's not true. That's no, no, no. Let's do it again. Hold on.
You do a pod. You're a good podcaster. How would you do it?
Hey, parents. Happy Tuesday. We talk about a TV show from 20 years ago that I have not watched, that Eddie has watched, that apparently borders on inappropriate. And so I'm here to say you may just want to listen by yourself before you listen with your kids today.
From one Samantha to another, you're going to want to keep those kids out of ear range. It's like one of those movies where they show the end at the beginning and then come back to it.
Yes, yes.
And they're like, oh, I see.
We're leaving that right there. Hey, can we talk about SNL this weekend? Did you watch it? Of course you did.
Yeah, I did. I
mean, good on them for trying.
It's just like baseball, trying to figure out how to play baseball.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting out some SNL. And it's really, really bright spots in it. What did you like?
What did I like? I thought the Zoom skit was really funny.
Yes, yes.
I thought that was, for people who haven't watched yet, they literally did a skit where people who did not know how to use Zoom were on Zoom, and everyone from SNL recorded from their homes, as we're all doing.
Yes.
And they put it together, and they did a teaching people how to use Zoom. And I just thought that was hysterical. I thought that was so, that may have been the shining star to me, though I laughed at a lot of it and appreciated a lot of it.
Yes. And I was struck by the people who, because the Zoom one was great, and you really cannot put AD Bryant and Kate McKinnon in a sketch and it not work.
Yeah, that's right. Adi Bryant's brilliant to me.
She is a ringer 100% of the time. But I was also struck by those on the show that were the YouTube famous beforehand or had done, like, this was their natural medium. You could just tell they had a comfort with it. Because what was Chloe Fineman, who's the new character, and she did a couple of impressions. She did, like, the master class with Timothy Chalamet, like she was impersonating Timothy Chalamet. The format of it was like, oh, that could have existed on the real show exactly as it is. They used the format to match. It was just, I thought it was very, very good. And of course, who's your favorite SNL? Do you have a favorite cast member right now?
I do think it's probably Adi Bryant or Beckett, maybe. I really like the Beckett guy.
Yeah.
I think he's really funny.
Beck is great. And Kyle Mooney.
Kyle Mooney's funny.
So funny. Everything they do was funny. Have you seen, hold on, I don't want to shame you again. There is a show that Adi Bryant does that is very thoughtful. It's called Shrill. And
yes.
Someday.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, you handled that really kindly. Thank you.
You should
really
watch it.
That.
Do you feel shame if you haven't? Feel culturally irrelevant?
You're the one who said I wasn't allowed to say should anymore. And now every time it even rolls to the front of my tongue, I think, no, 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 no. Who are you shoulding? Why are you shoulding?
Hold on. Are you saying should just then?
Yes, should.
Okay.
Yes. You're the one who told me I couldn't say that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe I should have just settled down on that because I just said it appropriately. Maybe it should have been more like, hey, let's not should our feelings to death, but it's a perfectly fine word. And you're a great speaker and writer, you know, don't ignore it.
I mean, one of the fun things about SNL cast members is they have this ability to, in the summers and off season, to create other things like Bridesmaids,
yes.
Like Shrill, like Wayne's World, like, oh man, I'm forgetting my very favorite one. It's Will Ferrell and he's Anchorman. It's Anchorman.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, they just create these things in the summer with each other most of the time.
Totally.
And it's just hysterical. Yeah, they're writers first, which goes really far to me.
Yeah, and that Lorne Michaels produces. The show never right. really stops. They just stop doing the Saturday Night Live show and just keep doing other stuff. But
yeah. I mean,
I thought it was
Late Night with Seth Meyers, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Those are both Lorne Michaels, too. I mean, his fingerprint is all over the cultural comedy that we intake on the regular.
Right. Everything on NBC, on a major network, from 11:30 till you go to bed is Lorne Michaels every night.
Mm.
Except
well,
for, I guess, Sunday
night. Well, not that long of a window, really.
Oh,
from
yeah.
11:30 until you go to bed?
Yeah, I guess everything I watch in clips on YouTube the next day is Lorne.
And this is where you're going to be sorry you don't live in Central Time Zone, because Saturday Night Live comes on at 10:30. It's awesome.
I know. So
it's
jealous.
It's one of the best parts. Jimmy Fallon comes on at 10:30, and Saturday Night Live is 10:30. I mean, it's great, because then you can be done by... I usually will stay up and watch through... Weekend Update, and then I go to bed and watch the rest the next day, or I watch the whole thing on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that it's done by, that I can be in bed by 11:30 on a Saturday night.
Want to hear an amazing parenting move? It's called a reverse nap. So sometimes on Sunday, we will tell the girls, you're going to put us down for a nap, and you guys have to play quietly and stay inside the house. So they will go grab a Lego set, grab a book, and Brie and I will be in our room. But really, we're just watching SNL on an iPad on Sunday afternoon. And it's called a reverse nap.
Brie likes it as much as you?
Yeah. I think I've read more like books in history, but we always watch the whole thing together.
How long have y'all been married?
We have been married. We're coming up on 15 years.
Yeah.
No. Yes. 15 years. We're coming 15 years this summer.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because I think that's the point. I mean, I would imagine, again, very not married yet, but I would imagine at some point it does help a lot to like the same shows.
It kind of does. Yeah.
I mean, I find it true in friendship. It's very fun to like the same as we just experienced.
Right. Like, because you and I,
it's easier when you like the same shows. And in general, you and I do, just minus one channel.
Yeah. Well, and Spring Baking Championship or whatever.
Yeah, which you're really missing out, because it is the best of all the baking shows. I know you're a British Bake Off guy. But this Spring Baking Championship is the best of all the Food Network cooking competitions.
Tell me why.
Because it's springy, so all the food is bright and they use a lot of fruit, and everything is beautifully colored, and they have to use a lot of shading, and it is always light and fluffy. Like, the food they make is really beautiful. The Christmas one's fun, and the Halloween ones are always too dark to me. And I don't like the ones where, like, all not like spiritually dark, just like all the cakes are black and orange, you know?
Spiritually dark.
Yeah, I'm not talking.
When you're doing a Halloween thing, it's pretty much, it's going to be fall colors, or it's going to be some.
Yeah, that's right. And those colors are pretty, but it's just really beautiful to see massive cakes made in all pinks and blues and greens and yellows. And it's just really, they make really beautiful desserts that look like art. And Clinton Kelly is the host from What Not to Wear. And he's really fun, and
I like
he
him.
Loves it. And yeah, so it's just my favorite of all of them.
Okay. I could get into that. I will
certainly.
It's really sweet. I will certainly watch all of it. Of course I'm gonna watch it.
Man, you want to talk about a show we could do a podcast around? Spring Bacon Championship.
Just a week by week recap of it.
tell me what you love about, I can do anything. I haven't chosen to get into British Bake Off yet. Yes. Tell me why you love it. Everyone who watches it just absolutely loves it.
Here's what I like about British Bake Off. It doesn't revolutionize the format. It's still your basic competition show. It is just very, and maybe it's the time we're in now, but it has zero intensity to it. It's,
yeah.
They kind of like if they're coming down to the last 5 minutes and someone's done, they go over and help each other. So they're competing against each other.
Oh, that's sweet.
But they're all fully on each other's team. They're allowed to do all of that kind of stuff. The judges are normal people. So if somebody made 11 because one fell on the ground and they were supposed to make a dozen, they don't make a whole thing out of it. It's just, hey.
It's not like you automatically have to leave if that happens.
Yeah, yeah. It's just nice show. And also, just the British people are charming, right? With their little jokes. There was one lady on the show who just got eliminated that we could not understand a single word she said. So it was just so charming to watch her. So part of it is just the gentleness and the charm of the whole thing and the lightness of it. I think that's
Is it because it's British? Is it because it's I assume it's in England?
It is, yeah. And they always say where they're filming, and I'm like, Cheshire outside of Meshire. I mean, I don't know what any of these words are.
Cheshire outside of Meshire.
And I don't know where they're at. I'm like, great. Sounds like a place
but
that
it's
people.
It's England.
It is. It seems to be England. Yeah.
You actually don't know, I guess, because Cheshire outside of Meshire, you don't actually know.
Well, there's
I wonder
one
if I Google where is British Bake Off.
Tent.
Filmed.
Put tent in there too. Because it's
tent. Okay.
They do it in this massive tent. But also, there's no like lighting where it's like
Welford Park in Newbury, Berkshire.
Almost exactly what I said.
Yeah, you're right. So I think that's where's British Bake Off. Oh, apparently it moves. Snellsmore Common, Donington Castle.
Oh.
Colesburn Park. There are all these people, all these places listed.
All seem lovely.
That's a bigger answer. Oh, no. We'll see. This one says the series was filmed at Harptree Court in East Harptree, Somerset. Man, they name things really cool in England. I recognize that we named our things after them because they came here and blah, blah,
right,
blah. But
right.
Cool, cool names.
But I live in a city called Gainesville. Like, even just saying it is like, blah, like, it's a mealy American
it's
word.
It's problematic. Hey, do you have any heroes today? You want to do a hero?
Yeah, I'm snarky, so I'm glad you're starting with me. I would like to name the governor of Florida, and I usually don't get political, but
This would be the second time. So if anybody's keeping a tally on the wall, just to remember, not political, but let's just go ahead.
Okay. the governor of Florida has, in what is certainly a very difficult decision to figure out what's essential, what to keep open, what to close.
Sure.
Schools, and granted, these are very hard decisions that are more complex.
Yeah.
But made the announcement yesterday that the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, is essential. And
you're lying to me.
I am 100% telling you the truth. And so, without an audience, but with all of the wrestlers, and they say a minimal crew, but I have seen how TV shows are made. It is hundreds of people.
Yes.
Just to do a skeleton crew of camera to editing to producer, even if they do things remotely, hundreds and hundreds of people, and all in close proximity, and some of them wrestling each other.
Yes, they're wrestling each other. They're like gonna have tears and liquid on each other.
Not to mention medical support staff that are there in case people get injured, and catering who are there because you got to feed a crew if they're going to be there for 14-hour days. Deemed it necessary. So the WWE is back. You do not have to miss a moment of that. And you can thank the great state of Florida. So that is
really surprising.
That is my very snarky hero for the day. I just read that.
How is that real?
Well, it's real because everything has an economic reality to it. And so the WWE is huge money that supports big candidates. And
so will people pay to watch?
Yes, they will. Pay-per-view and TV rights that are already existing. None of that will go away. I mean, that's the problem with why Major League Baseball and is scrambling right now, because there's just TV advertising that's just, and it's a real problem. It's a, can we actually keep a league open without doing a full season? And it's not on a strike where it's covered by some sort of insurance payment. It is genuinely, can we do baseball again? And I think they will. And so there are real economic ramifications here, but it's still WWE in Florida. It's so that is my snarky hero for for the day.
That is ruining my life a little bit, but all right. I just think, how's that? How does he get? Well, he's the governor.
He's the governor, and I don't.
So it is.
It's the caterers. It's the other people that think, oh well, the wrestlers they'll figure it out. Like, because the wrestlers will have their temperature taken 10 times a day. They have enough money. They'll probably get coronavirus tests before they're even allowed in the arena.
Yeah, sure.
It's the support staff that have to be there. Even a skeleton staff. It's all of that. It's the security guard that there's only 10 people probably that have the keys to an arena that can open it. One of those people has to show, you know, I can go on and on, but that kind of stuff is like, if my kids can't go to school, I am pretty sure we can have wrestling.
Yes.
Somehow that math seems
that
to work
like
out
a,
my
that
head.
Feels like a real sentence. Yes. If my kids can't go to school, there shouldn't be professional wrestling. That's 100% true.
Okay, yeah.
My hero, I have two. I have mine, and then we get to partner with IJM. So let me do the IJM one. I like this one.
Yeah.
IJM, as people know, is the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. And they work to rescue people out of sex trafficking and slavery around the world and walk with them on their journey to freedom. And this story, these heroes today, is a family in South Asia who waited 15 years before they were freed from slavery, Eddie.
Yeah.
They were living in extreme poverty, and two men approached their village with an offer to work on a farm and a cash loan to relocate. So they did what anyone would do and went and took the work, and other families did the same thing. But as soon as they began working, the interest on the loan began accruing, which is awful.
Yes.
And what their initial loan of about $130 ballooned to almost $15,000 that they owed back.
Which is impossible in any context.
It's impossible. And then they're paid next to nothing.
Right.
They're abused. They're poorly fed. They sleep in tents made out of tarps. I mean, they're in slavery.
Yes.
It's brutal. But when IJM and the local authorities heard about the abuse, they planned a rescue operation. But when they arrived, the men and women were afraid to speak up, which is very fair.
Right.
But fortunately, one of the authorities was a leader and a leader of the local Human Rights Commission, really empathized with one of the laborers and helped calm them down and built trust. And then they shared their reality with the police. And as soon as they shared their story, the police arrested the men who'd been holding these families as slaves. And a total of 50 people, including 20 kids, were set free. And this case shows that not only does slavery still exist, but even when one person with authority aligns that power with the people in need, real life-changing transformation can happen for people.
Totally.
So the rescue happened on March 13th, like literally 31 days ago. That rescue happened March 13th of this year.
Can you believe
it? 1 month ago, five weeks ago today, every one of those 50 people were living in slavery. And today, all 50 people are celebrating their first month of freedom.
Right. Because people.
That's crazy.
Because IJM and authorities showed up, but moreover, because someone in their midst did something heroic and said and spoke up, and it just it can't be overstated, the bravery of the people around the world who are in slavery. It is just unbelievable, the depth of heroism of their actions.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I mean, we were at that point. That's the day I got quarantined.
Yeah, but so that was like yesterday.
We started the podcast. Yeah, literally, we started the podcast the next day.
Right.
So as long as this show has been out, these people have been free. That's incredible.
That's nuts.
So this rescue is just part of the work IJM does around the world. So you guys take a minute today and read more stories of hope like this. You can go to IJM.org/hopewithus. Also follow them on social media, IJM, just the letters IJM. So it's IJM.org/hopewithus. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, all of a sudden my wrestling story seems kind of insignificant, but there I go.
My other hero that comes to my mind when we talk about SNL is Michael Che. because he did Weekend Update and his grandmother had just died 2 or 3 days before of coronavirus.
Yeah.
And then if I went and read on his Instagram, did you go read his Instagram story about people in poverty living with coronavirus and surviving and not surviving coronavirus?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, it's just he grew up in a really low income area and talking about like how people can't separate and how they can't get the food that keeps us healthy. Cause like one of the things a friend told me yesterday, like our family's eating super healthy because that's our best fight against coronavirus is a strong immune system.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I just read Michael Che talking about how low income families can't still are eating the same way they were eating before.
Right. Right.
Anyway, he just is a hero to me in that he still got on TV and did the show and wrote jokes. And even though he had just lost a very important person in his life to coronavirus. So,
yeah. And did a great job. And I thought also made a good, it was very honoring of the comedy too. Cause he made Colin Reed a joke that, you know, he did a whole funny bit. That
that's
was
one of
just,
my favorite things at Christmas where they write jokes for each other. I think that's funny.
Yeah. It was just very sweet, but also very, I didn't know he wrote that on his Instagram. There's the disparity that already existed becomes even more and more apparent as we, you know, all traverse this together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You want to do this again tomorrow, buddy?
I actually would like to. I feel like I'm going to I'm going to save the follow-up text and say, sorry, I think I was a little too snarky today. Are we?
Oh, no, I don't. Okay. Yeah. Don't worry about the text. That's fine.
Feel like I was too snarky?
I've been laughing the whole, no. I was laughing the whole time.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, I'm going to make sure the jokes are always on the buddy tip, not on the.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I promise. I would tell you. We won't send a text after this that the public doesn't know we sent about like, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I'm kind of hurt, but I'm fine. No, we're fine. Okay. We are super fine. I feel no shame about not watching shows on HBO. I think it's totally fine.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to tell Chad to put that thing at the beginning?
100% I'm going to tell Chad to put that thing at the beginning.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be weird.
Okay, me too. Okay. All right, friends, wash your hands and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, buddy.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.